Now shall we look at the hymn sung at the remembrance feast? And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Matthew 26 and verse 30. Know ye what a hymn is? It is a song with praise of God. If thou praisest God and singest not, thou utterest no hymn. If thou singest and praisest not God, thou utterest no hymn. A hymn, then, containeth these three things: song and praise, and that of God. Praise, then, of God in song is called a hymn. Such was Augustine's definition of a hymn. A hymn is singable praise of God, a salute in song to the greatness of God and to the events of His grace which constitute the gospel. It is a combination of divine truth and Christian experience. The Psalms especially pervade many Christian hymns and have illuminated the way for Christian hymn writing. But the Scriptures themselves as a whole are the creator and the molder of hymns for worship. Care has to be taken, of course, that the glories of the gospel are not hidden by something extremely Jewish, which was more suited to the days of carnal ordinances and the worldly sanctuary. The veil of Moses can still cloud the beholding of the Savior. Our Lord and His disciples sang a hymn, Matthew 26 and verse 30, as our text. This was most probably the Jewish Hallel. The psalm from which it is taken, however, is a messianic psalm. It speaks of Christ. In singing the hymn, the Lord was no doubt claiming the fulfillment of its truth in Himself, and may have interpreted the scripture before they began to sing. In fact, the Lord had already done this in His teaching previous to their singing. The messianic portion of the Hallel in Psalm 118 verses 22 to 27 contains four cardinal truths of the Christian faith. All these are revealed in that important chapter of Matthew 16, and all made clear by our Lord Himself. First of all, the revelation of the Christ. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. Psalm 118:22. The Lord used this word in Luke 20 and verse 17 to establish His messiahship. So also with verse 26 of the Psalm: Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, which was shouted by the children of Jerusalem when our Lord rode into the city on the colt, the foal of an ass. Peter, by divine revelation, confessed our Lord to be that promised Messiah when he said, Thou art the Christ, that is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Matthew 16, verse 16. Three great cardinal truths were enshrined in the idea of Messiah. First, he was to be the son of David, the rod out of the stem of Jesse. Isaiah 11 and verse 1. Secondly, he was to be the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Thirdly, he was to be the triumphant Lord of all. Daniel 7, verses 9 to 10, 13 to 14. This was the Messiah whom Israel's rulers rejected. That the Son of God became Son of Man can never be accounted for upon the principles of natural reason. How can that reason tell us how a virgin became a mother? It is a truth which must be embraced and can be understood only by divine revelation to the soul. That Jesus was the Christ was thus revealed to Peter and the other disciples, and so it is to all who believe. The second truth is that of the church. The church is not revealed in the Old Testament, but it lies hidden in such words from Psalm 118, the Hallel, as these. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 118, 22, 23. To Israel, he was the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. 1 Peter 2 and verse 8. There is a tradition that in the building of Solomon's temple, a great stone was first rejected, which was later discovered to be the one for which they were looking to complete the temple. In Matthew 16 and verse 18 is the revelation of the second cardinal truth of the Christian faith, that is the church. The Lord Jesus said, immediately following Peter's confession, that he was the Christ. I will build my church. It was this church of which the Lord was to be the headstone of the corner. This truth was taught by our Lord himself in the parable of the husbandmen. Matthew 21 and verse 42. The church is our Lord's own building. It is a spiritual church, a spiritual building with living stones of regenerated men and women. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And he is that living stone, disallowed indeed of men, from whom all these precious stones derive their new and heavenly life. Such is the church. The third revelation is that of the cross. God is the law which hath showed us life. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Psalm 118, verse 27, so reads the Jewish Hallel. This is fulfilled in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the third great truth revealed in Matthew 16. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Matthew 16, verse 21. God is the Lord which hath showed us life. This he does to all who receive his grace. God shines into the heart of such in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. Who is the light of the world? John 8 verse 12. That light shone on the day Paul was converted on the Damascus road. Paul could only say it was brighter than the noonday sun. In that light, he saw light. bind the sacrifice with cords to the altar. The sacrifices of the Old Testament symbolic system were so bound before slaughter. In fulfillment of this, one finds in the Gospels several occasions when our Lord was bound. There were several of these bindings as he drew near to the cross, until at last he was bound to the cross itself, and then slain by crucifixion, a Roman death, the worst of all deaths, and a death connected with the curse. He was bound in turn by Annas, Caiaphas, Pilate, and Herod, but oh, rather by the cords of divine love, and that for our redemption. Nothing took place in connection with his death, but what was according to the scriptures, and therefore predetermined by God. In that death, our Lord did not suffer merely as a martyr. That is true, but not the whole truth. Nor did he suffer only because he was a witness to truth. That also is true, but not the whole truth. The principal cause of his death was that he, as substitute, took the place of his people, and therefore was made sin for us, when he himself knew no sin. Thus he died in our room and our stead. The fourth great truth is his coming again. There was a second meaning to the words in the Hallel. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Psalm 118, verse 26. It is a reference not only to his first coming, but also to his second coming. This verse looks forward to that blessed day, which will surely come, when through the tribulation yet to come, all Israel shall repent of their transgression, sin, and iniquity, and shall say, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. Now this is the fourth great truth in Matthew 16, you see. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Matthew 16, verse 27. That he is to come first into the air, to gather to himself his redeemed ones, ere ever he comes to the earth to restore Israel. How our own hearts should speak now the language of the Hallel. For we who are his people shall surely say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. What a gathering and what a rejoicing that will be. Oh, hear the words of Andrew Bonner. Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Here faith can touch and handle things unseen. Here would I grasp with firmer hand thy grace and all my weariness upon thee lean. Here would I feed upon the bread of God. Here drink with thee the royal wine of heaven. Here would I lay aside each earthly load. Here taste afresh the calm of sin forgiven. Mine, mine the sin, but thine the righteousness. My mind the guilt, but thine the cleansing blood. Here is my robe, my refuge, and my peace. Thy blood, thy righteousness, O Lord my God. I have no help but thine, nor do I need another arm to save thine. another arm save thine to lean upon. It is enough, my Lord, enough indeed. My strength is in thy might alone. Too soon we rise, the symbols disappear. The feast, though not the love, is past and gone. The bread and wine remove, but thou art here. Nearer than ever, still my shield and sun. Feast after feast thus comes and passes by, yet passing points to thee glad feast above, and gives sweet foretaste of the festal joy, the Lamb's great bridal feast of bliss and love. Amen and amen.